good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. That's also my taxpayer's name. And we discuss local and national Twin City Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Awesome. Hey, so still grieving with Clyde, mm-hmm. And it's just been a bad year. It's hard getting older, Wendy.
Yeah,
now
it
we're
is.
The elders, mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm ready for that. But, you know, it's a sad time. I think we have Bob Blake on.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, we're going to play a little segment we did on one of our shows earlier on about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. when Clyde and I went to Wounded Knee together, and he went and visited one of the things that AIM, American Indian Movement, and Clyde specifically brought to fruition. And there was a radio station in Wounded Knee that we visited, and he talked about the history of AIM. And we're going to just rebroadcast that today.
Oh, that's cool.
For the second segment, and then we'll have Bob Blake. But as you know, we are one, if not the only, place where you hear Native news and events. And we're going to start right off with Ogama. With news and events, welcome, Ogaba.
Hi, Animbuju. Can you hear me today?
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. We're doing good. We're one for one this week. So, Ani, and I'm Ogama Ginuikwe. I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And I have some news and updates for you here in Minnesota. I know late last week and coming into early this week, we talked a little bit about the protest happening in Carlton, Minnesota, partially led by McGeezy Will Fly, or Tayshia Martineau from what was previously known as Camp McGeezy, regarding the safety of children who are members of the Fond du Lac tribe in two residential foster homes. Right now, they're going on a week-long protest of the two residential foster homes, one of which is located in Cloquet and one on the Fond du Lac Reservation. And they continued again today outside the Carlton County, outside the Carlton County Courthouse. They've been in sub-zero temperatures outside the foster homes for most of the last week after video and images emerged on social media of the children in the foster homes. The Cloquet Police Department says it's investigating the situation along with the Carlton County Public Health and Human Services, the County Attorney's Office, and Fond du Lac Reservation. But due to the active cases involving juveniles, they say that they cannot respond further due to data practice laws. And that they are assisting all the agencies in taking all complaints and allegations regarding the safety of the children seriously. However, community members such as Tayshia Martineau, Ashley Roy, and Jessica Smith have been out there in the sub-zero temperatures talking about it with pictures of children who they have that are in foster care. And, you know, it's... Some of these images, Robert, that we've seen, we did see some of those images, and the video that was coming out were really deeply disturbing. And I really hope that for everybody's sake, that this is truly being investigated to the state that it needs to be, because the alleged person committing these child abuse allegations has been a trusted member of the community with care of children in foster care for a very long time. So the fact, you know, that it takes this long for somebody like that to perhaps be charged for the way that they treat children is just deeply, deeply saddening. The Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa also issued a statement saying that they're working closely with Carlton County to conduct a thorough investigation And they believe that child protection cases, those cases actually do belong with Carlton County, that they don't have that much jurisdiction, even under ICWA. So it's just sickening. And I wanted to give people an update on what was happening, that a week-long protest is still going on as of yesterday. Apparently, county officials did earlier remove the children temporarily for 72 hours earlier in January, but the children were returned to foster homes at the end of the temporary hold, and nobody knows why that decision was made. So it sounds like this is not the first time somebody's made those reports. So I wanted to update people with that and what was happening with that. And then also happening in Minnesota, near Tamarack, there is a mining company who wants to start mining nickel near Tamarack, Minnesota, called Talon Metals Corporation. And the reason they want to work on nickel so hard is because Tesla is looking to receive at least 165 million pounds of nickel concentrate from the mine, worth about $1.5 billion at current prices. Mm. This is coming in from mining.com reports and the Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal. Mm-hmm. The Duluth News Tribune had also made a report saying that the nickel mine outside of Tamarack hasn't even yet begun what is likely going to be a years-long permitting process, and Tesla's deal requires shipments to start in 2026.
How about some hemp batteries, huh? And Winona talked about this yesterday, but how about some hemp batteries? We'll have to talk to Bob Blake about that today.
At least that's sustainable. Digging up the earth for nickel isn't.
Not at all. And this is likely going to be debated for the environmental impacts of the mine, as most copper and nickel mines in northern Minnesota have been, including Twin Metals and Polymet and others. Nickel and copper are often mined together, but the Talon Metals project is unusual because it's going to be prioritizing nickel over copper. However, yeah, it's not sustainable no matter what. Elon Musk, who's Tesla CEO, is calling for the nickel mining to increase in an environmentally sensitive way and trying to make it carbon neutral. However, we all know carbon neutral.
Man of the year.
And so did Enbridge said the same thing.
And Polymet, yep, right?
Polymet, yeah.
Exactly. Wow. So on a lighter note, we are one step closer right now to the movie Killers of the Flower Moon, which is exciting. They finally finished filming in late 2021, which makes us the closest we've ever gotten to the movie being released, because the rights were bought back in 2016, and we've known about this for a really long time. It's got some big, hard-hitting names in it. Leonardo DiCaprio, Ernest Buckhart, Jesse Plemons.
Martin Scorsese is directing it.
What's the name of the movie again?
Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon.
You know, the one about they owned all this oil, and they were like the richest Native Americans, and they were all getting murdered.
Yeah, Osage or Osage people were moved to a really infertile and desolate area, and then they found a bunch of oil under it. And because they began to get so much money, the government started appointing white guardians to help them spend it. And those guardians then turned around to scheme to kill and rob them. So that's a big part of what the story is about.
Yeah, it was a smashing book, that's for sure. Definitely. So, wow. I appreciate it, Ogama. I appreciate the news, as always. Mm-hmm. And still kind of a little thrown off here. I was on a couple radio shows today talking about Clyde, and it's pretty hard, but it's life, right?
It is.
We'll
life.
See him again, as we believe. But Pinigi again, Ogama, for the news that you don't hear anywhere else here and all over the Turtle Island, which we call the continent of North America. Thank you. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We got Bob Blake later, and then next we're going to have a little old clip from Clyde Belcourt, who just passed away.
Stay with us.
I am who I am. If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at
651-304-9986. This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization, fighting for climate justice.
Hey, this is live radio, Wendy. Come on.
I haven't talked a lot today, yeah. So I'm out of practice.
I've talked too much and had too much coffee, and this is like my 10th meeting of the day. But hey, I just want to remind everyone, we're going to listen to a segment that we did on Native Roots Radio roughly 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and it was after we came back from Wounded Knee, and I was able to record Clyde during an interview about kind of the history of that radio station that we were at, that in Wounded Knee, South Dakota, and then also what AIM has done. So why don't we again listen to I guess the late great Clyde Belcourt, our uncle. So I'm gonna just play this here and cross my fingers that it works, because Ogama didn't do it, I did it.
A's. I'm visiting the reservation today. And to be in Keeley stations, you know. A lot of people today don't know that following Wounded Knee, we did two things here. Number one, we started the Keeley station, so people on this reservation and Indians across the country would know what we were up to and what we were doing. And the other one, we started a clinic right over here in Porcupine to provide services people, and especially elders that couldn't have no cars to travel to get to clinics and etc. And then we also started schools all over. Red Schoolhouse, Heart of the Earth, and at one point we had 28 schools going together all the way up into Canada. And a lot of people don't know about those things today. We operate one of the only legal rights centers in America called the Legal Rights Center. And I was on the board of directors now for 50 years. And we provided not only three of our attorneys worked on the Wounded Knee trial that lasted for 9.5 months in St. Paul in 1973. We also operated top of the top job training programs in the nation. And by counting the numbers, and you make reports to the feds or to the state, you got to come up with numbers and successes and stuff like that. In a 30-year period of time, we took over 30,000 Native people right up in the welfare rolls and put them on payrolls. And we operate 15 100 units of housing program called Little Earth of United Tribes in Minneapolis. We offer two clinics. We have our own clinics because we're not satisfied with the type of medical help that we're getting because people don't have insurance. And we've got to deal with diabetes today and a lot of stuff like that. And, you know, of course, the biggest thing that we did, we formed the International Indian Treaty Council because we knew that judges and attorneys knew absolutely nothing about treaties and federal law and how it affected Indian people. And process that, knowing that the courts weren't going to listen to a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, we formed the International Indian Treaty Council under the directions of our elders when the judges didn't know how to deal with the treaties during the Wounded Knee trials. And we've taken cases in Minnesota, we've taken cases to all the way to the Supreme Court, the right to, you know, to fish and hunt and gather, the right to pray and sing and dance and have sweat lodges and learning the language and teaching our children that. And we still do all those things today, you know. And of course, a lot of our people, particularly young people, you know, they weren't even around when all these things were happening. And but they're picking up on it, you know. We have children as young as 5 or 6 years old that are speaking the Ojibwe language fluently today, and that's that. Eighth generation that people wonder, when's the eighth generation? It's already happening, you know. Our young people are going to school today. They know about their culture, their tradition, their language, their various ceremonies they have periodically, 4 seasons of the year. We do that, and our young people are picking up on that. And everybody's wondering, when's this eighth generation? They're here. When they're going to come along? They're already here, you know. Our great doctors and our great scientists and philosophers and all the stuff that we wish we had at one time, it's here. It's here. When the American Indian Movement formed in 1968, you can count the people with doctorate degrees on your right hand, fingers of your right hand. Now you can find them in different cities, hundreds of people. They're taking over, and young people that are involved in all this. So it's important for Keeley to have these type of programs on reservations across the country so we can keep people informed on what's going on, what's happening, et cetera. And so that's why we formulated this Keeley radio station. It's one of the first ones in the country. And we put it together because I wanted the people that were spread out here on this reservation for miles to know what's going on a daily basis, an ongoing basis. And so I felt good today because probably 80% of the people walking from the four directions of the universe back into Wounded Knee to celebrate this great victory that took place in 1973 have communications now, have a way to visit and talk about and debate different things that are going on their reservation today. And to see all these young people just lifts your spirit. And you know, I was looking in their eyes a lot when the prayers are going on and the people were talking and stuff. Some of them were shaking their head because they didn't know what happened here in Wounded Knee and how long it went on, and you know, it was a major, major, major victory. All four branches of the military, snipers, demolition experts, communication experts, they had everything up against us, but we never caved in and we never gave up. And I want to personally thank all the women on this reservation, especially the elders, people like Gladys Bissonette, Lou Bean, and Mrs. Moosecamp, and all them that were involved in the negotiations with the White House with a bunch of cooks by the name of Ehrlichman and the committee to re-elect the president. That's who they had come in to deal with us here, you know, broken Watergate. And here they're down here, you know, trying to cut a deal with the president. And we didn't listen to that. We got top-notch lawyers to come in and work with us, people that we ourselves work with every day of the week. So I want to hats off to Keeley Radio Station, and I hope they continue the great work that they're doing, not only here on Pine Ridge, but across America and all the way up into Canada. Today, these networks are put together where we know immediately when something's going to come down or something's going to happen, a new oil pipeline. We're on it. We're on it right now because we got radio stations like Keeley and others across the country. So I just want to thank people of Pine Ridge that were here and participated in the marches. I know it was long ones. You know, it lasted 2-3 hours, but we did it. Yeah, we did it again, and we have to continue to do that. We have to remember those things. We have to let our children know exactly what happened and what role they can play.
Well, that was Clyde Wynn, mm-hmm. and that was my bad editing.
It was really good hearing his voice. It felt nice to listen to him talk. He was always a very poignant speaker.
Well, and too, listening to him in his younger years, he was unbelievably strong, mm-hmm. even 10 years ago.
Do you know how old he was in this club?
Well, it was 3 years ago, so he was probably 82.
Wow,
That was when I went down to Wounded Knee with him when we were at the Keeley radio station that American Indian Movement started in South Dakota.
Yeah, he sounded great. He sounded really strong.
Yeah. And what was great about him, too, in his last years is he never diverted about his stories. Mm-hmm. He might tell me his stories 2 or 3 times, of certain things, but they were exactly the way they are. And each time they were the exact same thing. He never delineated from the story. And mm-hmm. then when you read his book, too, it's right there in the same way, too.
Yeah.
So it was great listening to history and talking about the history. And that was right after the American Indian Movement celebration of Wounded Knee, the victory, as he said.
Yeah, definitely. Great, great guy.
Yeah, we're going to miss him. And we got another quote up there. Ogama put up, the kind of things Clyde stood for, the kind of things we still got to stand for. And Winona said that yesterday on our show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And maybe we'll do a little more of that in the next week or so. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of people that need to know who he was.
Yeah, and who spent a lot of time with him, for years and years and worked with him. So we should probably find those people and talk with them on the radio and hear what they have to say.
Probably after the ceremonies, they're grieving.
Yeah.
Probably get John Anderson on, and I know John listens to our show all the time, mm-hmm. and get him to talk a little bit about, he was the AIM photographer in the last 10 years, and so, you know, he has a lot of inside stuff, and he saw Clyde and drove Clyde around a lot,
mm-hmm.
And sure, he heard all the stories.
Yeah, you know, our local news stations also mentioned him, you know, all of them yesterday.
And the mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul put out a Facebook post, and it's a big deal.
It's very well known.
Yeah, it's history, mm-hmm. and we need to push forward and keep on doing our show and doing what we can do for our community, our native community, our sacred animals. And up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake, Solar Bear.
With the solar news. Stay with us.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Wake.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hi, I'm Anna, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm getting my COVID vaccine. If you're between 5 and 11 years old, you can get vaccinated too. Getting the jab might seem a little scary, but there is lots of good reasons to do it. You'll be protected from COVID, and you'll be less likely to spread it to people like family and friends. Have your parents find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strongheart's Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strongheart's Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman. Listen to me weekdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Find more at am950radio.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style. Say, I'm willing to bet that you're hearing this in your car and there's a good chance that you're heading home. If that's the case, let me ask you, are you looking forward to getting there? Is your home a place that energizes? Well, if it isn't, it might be time for a furnishings refresh. Think about it. We've all spent a lot of time at home over the past couple of years, and maybe you need more than just a new sofa. Why not have a skilled, professional, tasteful interior designer from Habitation help you create a space that is exceptional? Whether it's your family room, living room, bedroom, or even home workspace, Habitation can help you create an environment that is exactly what you've always wanted. Habitation Furnishing and Design, located at the District Edina, 7777 Washington Avenue South, and online at habitationdesign.com.
We know you'll love your pets, so make sure to listen to the Pet Buzz. This week, pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and Dr. Michael Fleck are back with some financial pet talk, also some medical updates. They'll be talking some Flex facts, celebrity pet news, tell me something good, and more. That's this week on the Pet Buzz, enhancing the bond between pets and their people.
The Pet Buzz, Sunday morning at 11 on AM 950.
This is Angela Warner for Warner Stallion, and while I'm always proud of the work we do in our community, I'm especially proud this month of our partnership with Make-A-Wish. With your help, we are donating $50 for each qualifying appliance purchased to Make-A-Wish. Together, we could donate up to $100,000 to grant wishes for Minnesota kids. So I invite you to do good for your family while helping kids' wishes come true during Warner Stallion's Great Give Back. Now through January 24th, in-store or online at warnerstallion.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for a slight chance of rain and snow overnight with a low around 22, Thursday cloudy with a high near 30, and Friday snow with a high around 18. Is your furnace constantly running at home, and do certain rooms always feel colder than the rest of the house? Those are likely signs your home's attic needs an insulation upgrade, and Snap Construction can help by providing a free energy audit of your home's insulation. Call Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP or visit snapconstruction.com.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Did you see how I just rammed my ear into the microphone?
I did that the other day.
It's so unprofessional. I don't know how I'm getting away with doing this. You ever feel like a fraud, Wendy?
Every day.
Yeah, God. Hey, wow. We have some things to talk to Bob Blake on. Robert Blake, who's with Solar Bear and also Native Sun nonprofit solar company. We had lunch many times with Clyde Belcourt, you and I, and there's some great pictures of us, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that, of course, in your news, and then also what the heck's with Tesla messing with the deep north there. I don't know if you heard about that.
I saw that, and I mean, they are trying to do everything and anything they can to source materials from all over the place because they basically realize that that they've got competition from Ford, GM, and all these other car companies, and so they're just trying to get as many source as many materials and have as many vendors as they possibly can.
Yeah, how about some hemp batteries, eh?
I like the hemp battery thing, that personally myself. And the other part there is, I mean, you know, they're lasting longer. I mean, there's so many upsides to hemp batteries, but I, you know, they're constantly, there's new technology coming out, you know, with these people, you know, and the batteries that we have now and how they're making them last longer. You know, it's really going to be interesting, Robert, to really see how this all plays out. But I mean, we know that electrification is the future.
Mm-hmm. And you'll keep us updated, which is awesome. We talk to you every Wednesday. That's Robert Blake, who runs Solar Bear. And so it'll be good to hear the updates and what's happening, because you always have your ear to the ground. And just a quick thing before you start to report, any memories about Clyde? I know we had some really, and your family was involved with American Indian Movement big time too.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, my, you know, I was thinking about my grandmother, Nellie Spears, who, you know, she ran the St. Paul American Indian Club, and you know, she was really good friends with Peggy, who was, you know, Clyde's wife, you know. Mm-hmm. And her mom was Florence, and they used to hang out together at the powwows together, you know. And so it was, you know, just thinking about those connections going back, boy, decades now, you know. Mm-hmm. Back to the 60s, really. Of our families kind of being around each other. My dad knew Clyde. Clyde knew my dad, which is why he was really good to Bill, I think, you know, because him and Bill used to go out and have lunch together and meet each other and, you know, kind of talk community safety and, you know, Minneapolis kind of politics, you know what I mean? Yeah. He would meet Bill, and when Bill actually received his Medal of Valor, Clyde was there at City Hall to help give it to him. And that was such an honor. And we were really happy that Clyde was there.
For our listening audience, Bill was your brother, and he passed away, and he was a Minneapolis police officer, Native American, and just an all-around great, gentle person.
Yeah, great. Just a wonderful guy. Did a lot for the community, and was just a good person, like you said, and was really good friends with Clyde. And I, you know, like I said, I think Clyde was just kind of looked upon Bill because he knew my dad. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And was like that uncle, like everyone calls Clyde that uncle. And you know, when Bill passed, you know, I called my mom and, you know, just told her, you know, that, hey, we're you know, we have a fire for Bill right now, and, you know, we're doing ceremony for him. And, you know, it was just, and my mom felt really, it just made my mom feel really good. And that was those are the kinds of things that people don't hear about, but what Clyde did for our community and the families out there. And, boy, I'm getting choked up now. Talking yep. about this, Robert.
yeah, me too, definitely.
Daddy was such a great, and what about the day, you know, we're at Kieran's, right? We're walking into Kieran's, and I'm like, we're getting the table, and the lady sees Clyde walking in, and she says, oh, we have his table ready for him.
Exactly.
So there's me and Robert, like, forget about us, you know. Oh, there's Clyde. We have his table ready for him, you know. Clyde had a table at Kieran's, and that was what a wonderful guy, Robert. Mm-hmm. God, just a beautiful soul, and we were so lucky to have him in our community, and for everything that he did for our people. You know, just a legend, man. Just a rock.
And then also your family was involved in the design of the logo too. Do you want to just touch on that before we
get into your... Wow. I was in my Ojibwe class at Minneapolis Community College, and Rick Grashik's Ojibwe class. I'm sure a lot of you guys out there listening took that class too, you know, at Minneapolis College. But I was in there, and Rick had Clyde come in and talk one night. And one of the questions was, can you tell us about the, can you tell us about the sign, about the American Indian Movement sign? And Clyde goes into the story and he talks about Steve Blake, my cousin, and how he drew it. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the story and I'm just thinking about how Steve told me that same story when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And now he's listening in class, hearing Clyde Belcourt tell the story. And it was, it just was like surreal or something. It was an incredible, incredible time. Those Amsters though, they all stuck together just the work that they did. However anybody wants to judge them, you know what I mean? Whatever you say about them, they raise the awareness and the level of awareness that Native people matter, and I can't thank them enough, and pave the way for people like myself and other who are doing the work that we're currently doing, because without them, we couldn't do this, and we stand on the shoulders of greatness. You know,
right. And that's what Winona was saying yesterday. We had Winona on the show talking about Clyde and, paving the way. And there was a quote that was up just a little bit ago that she said during her show that is very poignant. Oh, there it is. For the kind of things Clyde stood for are the kind of things we still got to stand for. And Winona said that on her show.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. I love Winona. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I love that woman so much. You know,
she worked with Clyde when she was 18, you know,
I know. And you look at, you know, Robert, there was that one where Clyde was at a press event and he stopped the press event and, you know, he told everybody in there, he says, you all are standing on Native land, or you're all been.
Was that
been,
Bernie? Was that the Bernie press event? Bernie Sanders?
I don't remember the event, but it was years ago. And he said, you're all on Native land. Y'all been living on Native land for free and the rent is due.
And you know, when Clyde told me that, I said, man, that's a t-shirt. We got to make a t-shirt that says that.
Yeah, I know. That's got to be a t-shirt. And I mean, I thought to myself, boy, the only other person that could get away with something like that has got to be Winona. Yeah,
exactly. Except Winona wouldn't get away with it. She'd get arrested.
Yeah. Oh, wow. But boy, I tell you, oh my God, just love those two. That's always the same too. Like, you know, Robert, I'm so glad we took Clyde out that, you know, we got to hang out with them like that. And you know what I mean? And really appreciate him because, you know, and this goes for Winona too, you know, is, you know, cause I just adore Winona too, but like letting them know and giving them their flowers while they're here. You know what I mean? Like, let them know just how important they are. You know what I mean?
I always said I loved him after I talked to him, you know, because I think it's important that you do that, that you let people know why they're still here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And we're like I said, we're just so glad that we had him. Man, I mean, the legacy that he leaves behind, though, is just incredible.
Yeah. Truth. Nina says, truth, rent is due. That can go to land back, the big land back push that was talking about.
I think Nick Tilson and those guys over at Indian Collective should get one of those t-shirts made like that. And
heck, you know, Native Radio Trading Post should
put that part of their land back campaign that says rent is due.
Exactly. Well, you know, we only got a minute left here, and you know, I think it was important for us to talk about Clyde and reminisce, and you know, he'd been on our show many times, our symposiums. He handed over the reins one Sunday night on one of our symposiums to Frank and Lisa. And so it was powerful that he understood a media, and he understood what we could do for, as Native Roots Radio could do for our people, and also get the AIM message out there when due.
Absolutely, Robert. And I think that, you know, just the being able to have do the work too, Robert, that you've been doing and being able to amplify Clyde's voice here in the end here like this was just a wonderful, wonderful thing that you did. And great job, pal.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And, you know, I think everything starts with our radio show here. But also, if we connect the dots backwards, how important that time we went to Iowa, you and I.
Oh, man, we're family, brother. We're just family through all this with all these different connections and people, yep. Robert.
Yep, that's absolutely beautiful. Right. Known your brother since beautiful. I was 12, yep. Yeah, love you, man. I appreciate you. We'll be right back. That was Bob Blake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. We'll be right back, Wendy.
Stay with us. Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
What is this?
It's a vaccine, Batman.
What does it do?
It protects you from viruses.
What kind of viruses?
Well, this one more specifically protects you from COVID-19 strains and variants.
COVID-19? Cool. You're still going to jail, Joker.
In your dreams, Batman.
This message is brought to you by McGeezy Communications and the Minnesota Department of Health.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska, but reside in the Twin Cities area. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Those 65 and over are recommended to receive their booster dose. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. So get your booster shot to make sure you stay safe and healthy this winter. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to this website, vaccineconnector.mn.gov. 651-304-9986. Or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Hokan Jahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh, that was a good one. Hey, before we get too far going into your segment, Wendy, we're doing our sacred animal segment, which we really like to bring up, and it's been on the show for 4 years, and we're in our fifth season. Here on Native Roots Radio, is that George who read that ad, George McCauley. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that ad that was on?
Oh, the one right before. Yeah.
Yeah, he's an extra in that movie that Ogama talked about earlier.
That's awesome.
Just before I forget.
That's so funny.
I know. And then one of the things too, I don't know, Ogama, maybe you'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow, but one of the news things that came up is one of the nations up north is dealing in a good way with their language with that big company. I don't know, we can maybe talk about it tomorrow, but without further ado, and I speak French too, isn't that awesome? Mosey lawn. Cut the grass. Wendy with our sacred animal section. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. And as everybody knows, I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. So as always, Curtis, thank you very much. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. And I love to talk about animals every day. I have a really awesome article here. And it's from Autobahn, Autobahn magazine. And it's dated January 10th, 2022. So just a couple, what's today, the 12th, like 2 days ago. And this was written by Nicholas Lund. And it's an inside the amazing cross-continent saga of the Stellar's Sea Eagle. Now, I've never even heard of a Stellar's Sea Eagle before.
We had a dinghy that was a Sea Eagle.
It was called, yeah, it was, that was the brand, a Sea Eagle. But this is,
oh,
a,
wow, look at.
Yeah, this is a Stellar's Sea Eagle. Now, listen to this. At 10 pounds and with a foot wing, a 7 foot wingspan, the bald eagle is one of the largest flying birds in the United States. Yet the two juvenile bald eagles I saw perched, Nicholas Lund, who wrote the article, he saw perched in a tree in Massachusetts on December 20th, 2021, looked like pigeons compared to the other bird on the limb with them, a Stellar's Sea Eagle. Everything about seeing a Stellar's Sea Eagle in New England is incredible. It's an awe-inspiring bird about, listen to this, a foot longer and taller than an adult bald eagle and as many as 5 pounds heavier, with a massive golden bill that looks like pirate treasure. It's rare. There are only about 4,000 of these vulnerable species left in the wild compared to hundreds of thousands of bald eagles. And of course, it's not supposed to be here. Stellar's sea eagles are native to far eastern Russia and Korea, Korean Peninsula, and northern Japan. So how did this bird get to New England?
Took a cab. No, that's a joke. did you know eagles have hollow bones? Did you know that? Why they're so big and they can fly? And that's, you know,
because they have hollow bones.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Sorry.
Interesting.
I didn't mean to hijack you.
Well, it flew. It flew.
What?
The whole way, and it's still flying now. Vagrancy. That's a tendency for birds to show up far outside their normal range. It is one of the most exciting aspects of birding. The Stellar's Sea Eagle is the epitome of a vagrant bird, and the same individual has been tracked across North America since it was first spotted more than a year ago. The timeline and travels of the single bird from Alaska to Texas to eastern Canada to New England must be seen to believed. Now, the biggest question for birders is where will it go next? So the pictures here that Ogama put up is the Stellar's Eagle being seen in New Brunswick, Ontario, is the same bird photographs near Denali in August of 2020, and almost certainly the same photograph in Texas in March of 2021. So this bird has been around. So this is hard for me to say. Matanuset, Sustina County in Alaska. Americans first became aware of the bird when Alaskan birder Josh Parks photographed a Stellar Eagle, a sea eagle, along the Denali Highway. It was big news, but not shocking. These eagles occasionally show up in Alaska with a handful of records in the recent decades, but the Denali bird was unusual for being spotted inland, far from its typical habitat. It would be a sign of things to come. So where did the bird go next? It went to Coleto Creek Reservoir in Victoria, Texas. Then it went to Gaspé, Pennsylvania, Quebec, New Brunswick, Canada. The bird popped up in the next June, more than 2,500 miles away from the eastern Canada. So this bird is on its way. Then it went to Avon River near Falmouth, Nova Scotia. Almost 3 months after the last sighting, Nova Scotia biologist Phil Taylor spotted the Stellar while birding along the Avon River.
Dozens of local birders rushed to the scene to enjoy the bird during the short two-day stay. Then it was gone again to the Taunton River in Massachusetts. Late on December 19th, word got out of a sighting in southern Massachusetts that occurred a week before. The bird was found early on the 20th. This is the most U.S. birders' first real shot at seeing the bird due to the pandemic rules because people couldn't go back and forth to Canada, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, wow. Then the bird went to Sheepscot River, Maine on December 30th. And the story continues. The bird seems to be hanging out in Maine for the time being, but where it might go if it disappears again, nobody knows. For a bird as large and powerful as the Steller Sea Eagle, and with its history of flying great distances, there's no telling where it might show up. It has shown a preference for tidal rivers with tall trees and lots of islands. Mm-hmm. Many areas along the Maine coast fit that bill, including the Harpswell area. If it flown even southern, more south, perhaps to escape dropping temperatures. So they're looking at this bird and they're saying that it looks rather healthy and it's finding food. The thing is it not, it's not going to be able to find a mate because there aren't any here in the United States, right? And it's probably never going to make its way back over to Russia and where it originally came from.
Wow.
But why the bird strayed so far from its native range, it's anybody's guess. Marshall Iliff, eBird project manager at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and one of the first to spot the eagle in Massachusetts, says scientists are just beginning to understand the tendency of raptors to wander. Raptors are more and more blowing our minds with their movements, he said. And with more observers, more cameras and digital tools like eBird, we're seeing that long-distance raptors are rare but a regular phenomenon. So we'll see where this bird goes. I'm a friend of Audubon on Facebook, so I get the updates all the time. So it's in Maine now, and we'll see where he goes next.
Well, I hope it isn't because of climate change that this bird's here.
It could be one of the reasons. They did list that as one of the reasons. Climate change, habitat loss, yeah.
Hey, I want to give a special shout out to Ogama for the news. Wendy with our sacred animal and relatives situation segment. And Bob Blake with reminiscing about Clyde. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.